I be playing.
Hello and welcome to the fourth season of Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone. Let's see, Bama has won two national championships since we first went on the air with this show. Among the five national titles the Crimson Tide has won in the past 9 years. Today, Nick Saban begins his 12th season as Alabama's head coach. We'll talk about the Tide season opener down in Orlando against Louisville. But first, welcome again to my co-host, Dr. Adam Sterrett, Assistant Vice President for Student Life here at the University of Alabama, and Andrew Deer, Coordinator of Facility Operations for University Recreation. And I'm Mark Mayfield, Editorial Advisor and Associate Director of the UA Office of Student Media. Adam and Andrew, here we go, another season.
We're back. I can't believe it, four seasons, right?
Right. My third season.
Your third season,
yeah.
Right.
Shout-outs to George.
Right, you're no longer the new guy. Yeah. Well, you kind of are.
Yeah, I still am.
Still the new
guy. I'm still young by a lot of years.
George Brown is still
on the way. Sorry, I was talking a little too early.
Right.
Well, so, I don't know. You know, yeah, and Adam's Andrew's been here 3 years. George was here just for the 1 year,
right?
The first year.
So. But it felt like a longer period of time, right? In George years, that's like 17 years.
Yeah,
and he's still with us in spirit, I know, and on Twitter and
I know
in our inboxes and in our ears right now.
Not to compare George to Gomer Pyle, because George is a lot more intelligent than Gomer Pyle. But remember, Gomer was on the Andy show for only 1 or 2 years, right?
Right,
but
you think it's
he's the
much
one
longer.
Considered.
This might surprise you, but I didn't know that.
Right, well, it's very current reference that Mark has brought to the show.
Probably more like 5 years, but I thought it's a couple of years.
We're big with the young demographic on this show.
That was just an analogy, talking about the influence that Dr. George Brown had.
Absolutely.
We will talk about him more during this show because George is still doing the Fearless Picks on Twitter with us.
And his Golden Gophers have already gotten a win this weekend.
They did. They
or
won
early
Thursday
weekend,
night.
Thursday night.
Yeah, they blasted New Mexico State.
Yep. How about that?
Not everybody does that.
Well,
they do.
Yeah, they do.
But anyway, so thanks to George again for the inspiration for our show here.
Yeah, absolutely. And lots of big games today. This is again, it did start with George's Minnesota Gophers on Thursday night, but this Labor Day weekend of football stretches all the way through Monday night.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say that we all lost the Purdue pick already.
Yeah.
That hurt us.
So, you see my sheet right here?
Right.
To me, I was going to make it a coin flip pick, and then I, at the last minute, went Northwestern. At the last minute, I went Purdue, and I had an inkling that it was Northwestern, and my wife said, you made that pick wrong.
Well, sure, could have, would have.
Yeah, Northwestern played really well.
Stuff.
I know.
But, and there were some kind of garbage games last weekend. What, Hawaii and Colorado
State
or something?
Yeah, soft opening, I think.
Very
soft.
You
know. But it's a great opening weekend. We've got big games on here on Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And there's big games next week, too. It feels like there's a lot more of those kind of middly decent games this weekend for an opening weekend than we've had in the last couple of years. So I'm excited for a big day.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really exciting. What games are you guys most excited about on the board?
Well, I first of all, Washington and Auburn's going to be a big, big
that's
game.
That's obvious.
That's going to be it's a tough game to pick, too, I believe, and that's going to be a big one. One of the ones, and we'll get to this in a while, but it starts here in just a while. The FAU at Oklahoma, I believe Oklahoma – well, I won't give my pick then, but, Oklahoma's a pretty heavy favorite on that. But Lane Kiffin and FAU, it's just going to be fun to watch some of that game.
Right.
So the game to circle on FAU's calendar is the September 21st game with UCF.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Huge.
The fake champions, because you got to believe right. that Kiffin is just – I mean, he's just going after them, right?
Right. Oh,
and so he is spending a lot of time on that. They recruit against each other. You got to imagine that here in a few weeks that's going to be a big game. But, that is an interesting game for Oklahoma. I mean, so, FAU's going to do some stuff.
Yeah, the point spread's 20.5. Mm-hmm. I would take FAU in the point spread, no doubt.
Yeah.
It could be closer.
It's going
to
be high scoring. I think FAU is going to put up points. Kiffin offense is definitely going to put up points. I mean, Oklahoma is going to score on them, too, a lot. I don't know what the over-under is on that, but I'd go the over.
Baker Mayfield is not still there, so there's going to be some issues at Oklahoma, clearly. But they've got enough to beat FAU, but I think you're right. They're going to score some points, and it could be more interesting. I think the Oregon State-Ohio State game is relatively interesting because Oregon State could – there's been a lot of mess over at Ohio State, and so to see how they come out, do they come out super fired up and not distracted at all, or do they come out flat against a decent team for an opener? It's not a great team, but it's not the Citadel.
And it's interesting because, right. you know, Urban Meyer, the whole talks of him possibly getting fired, well, he didn't, so he's right. still there. Does right. he rally the troops? Do they fall apart? You're right.
And he won't be on the sideline yeah. for this one, but he right. – And I don't think he's in the – I think he's fully suspended right now. And then right. in a couple weeks, right. he can come back to the team but not coach in the games.
Right.
And so
right.
Certainly they've got other people right. there.
What is it? They got TCU in week three, I believe. Yep. This week is really going to yep. be a tough game. Yep. So, and he won't be on the sidelines. But you're right. He'll be there.
He'll be there throughout the week of practice. Them. I think Ole Miss Texas Tech is interesting,
that's
too.
That's interesting. That's a hard pick.
Yes. I agree. I think that's a tough one, too. And I don't want to give anything away either. But we'll see what Ole Miss has.
The over-under for that game has to be like 102. Right,
you'd think. I don't know.
I don't think there's gonna be a lick of defense played in that game.
Yeah,
all.
Well, probably the not. Question is whether Ole Miss can score points at all. But I guess against Texas Tech, anybody can score points. Yeah, probably yeah, the thing.
That's the fun part of the game,
right?
I think some of the Big 12 teams just don't, you know, they just don't even put a defense on the field, do they? I mean, right. I think the offense just comes out all right. 11 offense, and they just run down the field. Is that how it works? I don't know.
I think the other 2:30 game is what? Tennessee-West Virginia. That's, yeah, that's a pretty good matchup.
That's a good matchup. Tennessee might surprise right. some people in that game. I don't know. You know, it's going to be interesting.
I think that's a tough pick because both of those teams should be better than they are.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're both trying to get back, but I would guess that West Virginia is a little further back than Tennessee, but you never know.
Yeah, it just with Coach Pruitt coming in there, it's really hard to tell what they're going to look like right. exactly. He's calling the defensive plays. It's his first game as head coach. Obviously, Dana Holgerson's had some success there. So, who really knows what's going to happen?
They're going to look orange and ugly. I know yeah. that. Well, that's outside of that, yeah, it's going to be yeah. the question.
Tennessee's got a tough schedule.
They do. I mean,
they do.
They're going to – the question is, are the Vol fans who are just, you know, beside themselves right. have a good season, are they going to be patient with him?
Well, they've got
a tough schedule.
They've got Georgia, Auburn, Alabama in a bye week in there
yeah.
at some point, all back-to-back-to-back, yeah. which is just murderers.
And even this opener really. Is a tough game yeah. against West Virginia.
So. Luckily, we've got somebody embedded in the Tennessee message boards,
right.
our own
right.
Mark Mayfield, right. so right. we can find
message
the
board Mark over there.
Sort of secretly, but yeah, hoping they don't, you know, expose me as being
Bama Mayfield.
I'm a guy among them. But yeah, I've been. Let's just say I might have been on that site a few times even this week.
We're so, not surprised you know, one bit, Mark.
Yeah. The other big game, a huge game, Michigan at Notre Dame,
yeah.
Which has implications for both of the coaches of each of those teams. This is Harbaugh's season that he's got to really win some big games,
people
and he hasn't been able to win the really big games.
People
so
are
far.
Talking playoff with him this year,
yeah.
With everything that's going on at Ohio State. It should be an interesting year for them. But this game makes them or breaks them.
Yeah, and I think they both do have good football teams this year. So it's going to be – this may be a really close game. We'll see.
You've had off-season issues at Michigan State, off-season issues at Ohio State, and you haven't heard much about Michigan. And so they could kind of sneak up here. But, yeah, this game will be interesting. I hope both teams lose, but I don't think that's technically
possible.
You know,
I'm glad you said that because I feel the same way.
I don't think that'll happen, though. I think that's impossible. But if it
Which
could happen.
You want to lose more, though.
Yeah,
that's
if it
the,
could
that's
happen.
That's where you got
to
go.
I'd wish it would happen to that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see what let's see what goes on. But it's a tough game to start the year off for both of those teams.
Certainly that brings us to Alabama-Louisville, which we'll talk about plenty later. But Sunday's got a great game with LSU and Miami. I think that's a heck of a kickoff game, and I like having this extra game on Sunday night.
Right.
And those are two teams that, again, Miami had a great season last year, and LSU is looking to get back, and yeah. your favorite coach, Ed Orgeron, is back.
Coach O.
Back and making a lot of sense, and so we'll yeah. see.
He probably is. We just can't yeah. – we don't know. It's hard to know what he's saying.
Gosh,
yeah,
he sure is
sense.
Fun to listen to.
Yeah. He did have a great quote this past week, something about the, you know, the we're coming,
right,
you know?
Right,
and we're not backing down.
No,
you know?
It's good. I believe him.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's right. And you know, they've got a that is a tough game. That's a good. That's some really good matchups. Yep. LSU at Miami, or you know, versus Miami is a good game. And then Adam, the Seminoles have a pretty tough opener.
Yeah, you know, I know we've devoted at least 40 minutes later in the show to this game, and so I'll just hold off some of my comments. But yeah, it'll be exciting. I've got no idea what to expect from Florida State this year. But this is a weird 19 versus 20 game, and again a great Labor Day kickoff. We've got huge games Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Great games in the middle of the day Saturday. So we really got a great weekend ahead of us. Let's do a radio show about it, right? It gives us plenty of content. So we'll take a short break here, and we'll be back. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Hello, and welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. We've got a lot of football to talk about today, but let's talk a little bit here about what's been going on campus. We just finished up our, first full week of classes. We're about a week and a half way into classes here on the campus of the University of Alabama. We've got another one of these kind of away neutral site games, and so the students have gone quiet here a little bit, but we've been busy since, really early August, Andrew, with welcoming students here to campus and getting everybody back moved in and on campus and classes starting. So I know we've been busy like everybody else has in the Division of Student Life doing week of welcome type stuff and Yale Alabama programming before classes started, and we had kickoff concerts and we had script day and the freshman class on the field at Bryant-Denny last Tuesday or so, making a big script day with the Million Dollar Band here. We went out to the Million Dollar Band concert on the practice field last weekend to kick off their season, which was very cool. And they did their halftime show, gave us a little sneak peek at a halftime show for tonight.
Oh.
There's a lot of tricks in the halftime show tonight, so
Really?
Pay attention.
If
they don't air it, you won, really.
I wish they would show the halftimes when you're not at the game. I really wish they would.
Well, and little known fact here, I picked this one up. The Louisville band was not going to travel to Orlando tonight, but we talked them into it so we could bring the full band. And so we got the full Louisville band as well as the full Million Dollar Band, and they've got a national championship show. To talk about the national championship. A lot of interesting themes, and I think if you're in the sky looking down, you'll be able to pick up on a couple of the little inside jokes that we have, and then they're going to repeat the show at our home opener against Archie State next weekend. And so if you miss TV, because they normally don't show much of
we'll
it on TV, then we'll get to see it here at Bryant-Denny. But it's a great show. The songs all kind of have this interesting theme of the national championship, and so it'll be a great time. So yeah, Andrew, what have you guys been up to here for the last week and a half here?
Well, first of all, that's really exciting to hear about the band.
You didn't know I had that.
Here's the thing: we love the band.
Yeah.
We're pro band people.
So
I'm
fired.
So here's the other thing that I didn't mention, because you don't think about it, but all those students too are, many of them are first year students, and so a lot of that band, they put together that show in about a week and a half. Those students move in, and they get to practice and they get to classes. And so it's impressive what they can do with that huge amount of students in such a short amount of time. And anyway, those of us who work with students here on campus know that that's a quick turnaround. And we do it with the athletes. We do it with the Million Dollar Band. We do it with a lot of these groups and get them kind of trained up and together before the start of the season.
And over the years, I've had a few band members in that work on staff with me. And for 2 weeks, they can't do anything.
No,
it's actually really, really intense. So they have to clear their schedules. Right. It's really great. But with University Recreation, man, we've been rocking and rolling. So this past Mondays are usually historically our busiest Monday of the year. We saw just about 5,500 students total between the Witt Center and the Student Recreation Center. So the Witt Center, where my office is, we're bumping, man. The climbing wall's rocking. We've got new freshmen coming in, working out, playing basketball. It's really, really, really exciting stuff.
So you know the Starrett family crushed the outdoor pool all summer long.
I didn't, but that's not surprising. Isn't our outdoor pool great?
It's the greatest thing on this campus. It really is the best kept secret.
$10 guest pass.
And I'd like to keep it that way.
Okay.
But we are members, and there's $5 guest passes, right, with members?
Right.
With a member.
Up to two guest passes.
Listen, that's why we didn't have a third kid. And so, we've been there all summer, and we plan to try to get there this weekend because y'all close, right? Y'all close after Monday, I think?
We do. Yep, September 5th is the last day. So
we'll be there this weekend. We've got Get On Board Day coming up Tuesday. We're doing a big watch party in the Ferg tonight for the ball game, and we'll do a tailgate on the quad and a watch party for every home and away game all season long. And so we do those in the Ferg, and on home games we'll be out there on the quad. We got a great spot kind of right across Carmichael, and so free food and free stuff and stuff like that. And so,
and I'm glad you mentioned that, because you know we said that it's one of those weird first game away games. The campus is still buzzing. People are still really excited.
Yep.
You know, the talk of who's starting quarterback.
Yep.
Football is just back on campus.
People buying gear in the soup store. I was over there this morning, and they were still busy. People buying their new Bama shirts
And we said this every year, but it really is a very special place to be this time of year. And if you're not here, you know, I kind of you should envy us.
Yeah. Well, we got 38,000 students, and so there's only a couple thousand students that end up going to the game. And I know we think everybody goes to the game, but not most of them here in Tuscaloosa or in their hometown or going back home or something for the weekend. So the watch parties here in town, whether it be at local restaurants or in the residence halls or in the Ferg or other places, there's lots of cool things happening on campus here this weekend. And I know people will be watching games all day Saturday. I'm sure the local establishments that serve barbecue and wings and such will be packed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and student media, the CW is geared up and going. Andrew's favorite thing is the game picks from the sports editors.
Absolutely. And that's where Andrew gets his picks.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. So that's been fun. We also have a new editor-in-chief of Alice Magazine, the fashion lifestyle magazine that we do, and Rebecca Reichwitz, who's fantastic, and got the first full meeting of the Alice staff on – it's actually at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night with – the get-on-board day was reset, so we'll have a table. We'll sort of be in two places at one time, but we'll have the Alice table there, and then and along with all other student media representatives and students there. But then really excited about this Alice group, but also the CW. It's good to have them back. The newsroom was a little quiet over the summer. Right. It's great to see it buzzing again, and it just is kind of a microcosm of the whole campus. When I see the newsroom buzzing, I know the campus is buzzing. So that's been a lot of fun. So it's great to have them back and a good group of folks. New editor-in-chief, Jake Stevens, who does a great job, really wonderful person, and they got a good group.
That's great. Campus has been busy. I mean, I made the comment earlier, but we have so many students that move in August 6, 7, 8, whether it be Million Dollar Band members or people going to Camp 1831 or athletes or people going through recruitment. And so we are really – so, yes, it's from May 5th, 6th, 7th, it's kind of feels empty till the beginning of August, but – some of our students have been on campus already for 3-4 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been only
completed one week of class.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had events for them the entire time, and we will keep that going here with Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays and making sure our students are entertained and engaged on campus. But they've been busy, and we have felt like a fully operational fall semester really since the first weekend of August.
It feels like 2 months already.
Absolutely.
It really does.
That's why this Labor Day weekend comes at such a great time for a lot of us who work here, because we've been going after it for a while. Anybody who's involved with Bama Bound all summer long, welcoming these new freshmen and their parents and families. And so a lot of us started Memorial Day and haven't had much of a break.
Well, I was going to say, there's not much of a break anymore. The university's so large, 38,000 students, all Bama Bound all summer long. There are a lot more students. Also, it seems like actually in school on summer
now than it used to be. Bigger. Yep.
And so it's really busy. And then, you're right. The first few weeks of a fall semester it's so busy for everybody.
Absolutely.
But it's fun.
Absolutely.
And I think everybody is looking forward to tonight and the beginning of football season. I mean, it's sort of like. You know how it is in college sports. There's a lot of sort of bad news during the summer sometimes involving students or coaches around the country. Luckily not here, around the nation. And I think, that happens, it seems like, every summer. And it's just great to get to the action and the games. And I think it's the greatest sport in the country. And it's a fantastic time. It's the best time of the year.
I couldn't agree more. And the best part is we actually get to watch games. We've talked about them and talked about them and talked about them. And, we're talking about them right now. That's exactly what we're doing. So
maybe the purpose of the show.
It could be.
So and I like the fact that for the foreseeable future, this is how it's going to be. We have these neutral site games at the beginning, and it gives us kind of a fun time to kind of stay at home and watch a game. And then next week will be an even different vibe on campus with – it absolutely buzzing with the home game. So when we're here a week from now, it'll be a same or even different level of excitement. And so we'll ease into this season, certainly. But I can't wait for the rest of the day, for sure.
Yeah, really excited. Well, that's what's going on campus today. Let's take another short break, and we'll be back and look at today's big games. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7.
Hi, I'm Mayor Walt Maddox, and you're listening to Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone.
You're back in the Skybox on 90.7, The Capstone. All right, fellas, we got a lot going on today, beginning at 11 a.m. here shortly. Let's talk about Lane Kiffin and the FAU Owls out there in Norman, Oklahoma. Mark, what are your initial thoughts on FAU?
First of all, I would love to see an FAU upset in this game just because that would rock the college football world. And Lane Kiffin is the new Steve Spurrier, really. I mean, he is
That's a great comparison.
That's a tagline.
How about that?
He's not as successful.
That's our headline of the show.
He's got the visor and everything, right?
But, yeah, he's the guy that, you know, like the honey badger. He don't care. I mean, you know, it's just like that's Lane Kiffin. And he's good for college football because of that. He's a character, right? And I think so he's going to go out there and mess with Oklahoma. I do believe that. We'll talk about the picks later, but I'm really interested in seeing this game and watching this game on television.
I think that's the best part of Lane. Whether you love him or hate him, he had a ton of success early. He's now been humbled, I guess, at FAU, and he says what he wants. He says how he feels, and his teams play good football.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line. That FAU team got rolling last year. I think they're going to roll through the Conference USA this year. I don't think they'll beat Oklahoma. We'll get to that later. But it's going to be a challenge for them.
There's
not a lot of fresh water in Oklahoma.
No, there's not.
That's all I have on that one.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah,
you're right.
Joey.
It'll be a fun game to watch, though. I Oregon State at Ohio State, I mentioned earlier. My in-laws from Ohio are in town this
weekend. Let's talk about
how
your in-laws are doing with the Ohio State ruckus that's been going on.
You know, we haven't talked about it, to be honest with you. And even we haven't talked about it too much, to be honest with you. But they've certainly had an awful offseason. And really, the more that comes out about that whole situation, if you read it, the more you read, the worse it sounds.
Yeah.
I think last night I saw on the ticker, two nights ago I saw on the ticker that one of the trustees has stepped down because of their dislike for how the situation was handled. And so they've had a mess, and I don't think it's over either. I think it's going to continue to spiral a little bit. And there's been other coaches that have been implicated in some of the past situations. So Tom Herman came out as somebody who was involved in one of these situations. And so I think they've had a tough offseason, and the debacle that was that day-long meeting and the press conference at the end. And so I don't think it's enough to distract Ohio State from beating Oregon State at home. But again, this is a better opponent than they've had for a kickoff game in a long time. It's home at the Shoe. I think that a lot of times in these situations, especially with student athletes, it's easy to use this to rally around your coach and to rally around the program and to have them come out firing on all cylinders. They'll have a new quarterback. They've got lots of holes that they're filling.
For the first time in 13 years,
they'll
have a new quarterback.
Right, they had seven quarterbacks, it feels like, for the last decade, all at one time.
They were all really good.
Yeah, and they're all good. And so I don't think they're fighting a decision like they have in the past years. But we'll certainly be watching that game. I think, you know, again, that it's Ohio State's got enough to certainly beat Oregon State, but it's a better opponent than they have sometimes. It's probably going to be less interesting than maybe Ole Miss, Texas Tech, which I think could be. I don't know what Ole Miss has going this year.
The only thing I know about Ole Miss is that Jordan Tamu, their returning quarterback, who finished the season for him last year, did really, really well. I think he's a weapon. He can throw it. He can pass. But really, their wide receivers are their biggest weapon.
Yeah.
I think they've got the best wide receiving core in the SEC. With the Brown guy, they have all these massive wide receivers that are really, really great that are returning. And I don't know. It should be exciting to see.
Well,
we talked off air, I believe, Texas Tech. They don't even put a defense out there.
No, they usually don't.
They just throw the ball around, score points, and say, hey, sprint
down
to the end of
the
field.
They have the poster guy out there still.
Right.
Poster guy. Yep.
Yeah.
They
have,
this is you neutral know site in Houston, which is likely not so neutral.
Right.
Right.
So they actually have T-shirts that say our head coach is more handsome than yours. It's really funny. He's a good looking
dude.
He's
a looker.
He is.
I mean, we've said it before.
Right.
He's a looker.
That's no secret here in the Skybox.
No, listen, we've got a lot of appreciation
he's
for their
a looker,
coach.
But, you know, he might be better off to go into modeling than coaching, to tell the truth. So I don't know. Texas Tech is just one of those teams that – you know, they can
score
like crazy on you, and then they can give up 70 points, and then they can, it's just that they don't play defense. If they did have a defense, he's a great offensive coach, and I think they would end up you know, that could be a good program. It is a good program. I don't mean to badmouth them about that.
Right.
The Ole Miss, though, the Land Shark, they got a new mascot.
They do have the new mascot.
And not to get into all that controversy, but I like the Land Shark.
It's better than the Black Bear, right?
I think
all of their previous options.
It is. And I hope the Ole Miss fans really support that. And I think that
they don't have a choice at this point.
But what I like about the choice of the Land Shark is that it's not just created out of nothing. They are the Land Sharks. I mean, they proved it on the field. That's where that comes from,
right.
I believe. That's why I think it does fit the team and the program, and I'm kind of excited about
that. It'll be interesting to see what kind of team Matt Luke has or what kind of team they put out there because of, you know, last year and this year being on probation and moving forward with him getting the full-time job. It should be interesting to see if the team really rallies around him and you know, how they take care of business going forward. They've been through a lot with the firing of Hugh Freeze,
yep.
You know, the interim tag, and then now him getting the full-time tag. And, you know, Ole Miss Athletics has been through a lot. It's kind of interesting to
I saw a great meme or something with Hugh Freeze that said, "What, you mean I can delete text off my cell phone?"
Mark's on the message boards and the meme game.
It's all over it.
There we go.
Mark said he wasn't prepared. Come on.
Yeah, come on, Mark. We all the sky.
Mark's dogging us.
I don't know. Everything I know comes out of Vol Nation. What am I talking about?
So,
all right.
I mean,
may have nothing to do with the Vols.
Texas versus Maryland are playing this morning as well, but this game should be better than it is, and it's not. Maryland's had an awful offseason with the tragedy with one of their players and how they've handled it, and they're going to have issues all year long. They're going to be proud of their uniforms and proud of their state, and they're not going to win a lot of ball games. But I don't know that Tom Herman has a much better season in front of them either.
Oh, does Texas?
They've got a tough schedule.
Do they take the next step this year?
I don't think so. By winning more than six, is that the next step for them?
I think they'll be better. I think this will be, you know, he's probably a year or two away from really. I do believe he is going to be successful because if you have a decent coach in that program, you can win a lot of football games. But they have been down a long way, and so it's gonna take a while.
They've got a rough September. They go USC, TCU back-to-back, and then land at Little Manhattan with Kansas State, and then Oklahoma. So they've got a tough mid-September to October, and they could come out of there with two or three losses already, and that's before they get OSU, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and get into the brunt of their schedule, and so
now
the brunt of their conference
schedule. Now they're going through that. The Big 12 is pretty stacked this year.
So they could be because they finally listened to us after a while and decided to have a championship game and make their conference matter in some way in the national anyway, whatever. You've heard us talk about it.
Yep.
Because all these listeners have been with us for the full 4 years, and so they've heard us talk about it before.
Of course.
I think you mentioned this earlier, but really the biggest game this weekend is probably Washington and Auburn with the most implications, two top 10 teams.
I think it's the hardest pick. Now, I know, you know, there are a lot of people, Auburn fans, don't believe that. They think they're going to win. But I like this game. I think it's going to be a great game to watch.
Sorry, I laughed at the fact.
And for me,
dogging Auburn fans. Auburn fans.
Yeah,
just that term.
Come on, you know, the Auburn homers, like we're not Bama homers. But those Auburn homers.
Not objective fans like us.
But
always pick against Bama.
But I think Peterson, Coach Peterson out there, he's getting into his stride with this program now. He's already taken them once to the playoffs. I think the guy is, he knows how to coach football, and he's got a pretty good program. First of all, I love that program. I love that stadium. I don't know if y'all – I know this is in Atlanta, but I love the stadium.
They got the boats and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do love that stadium.
I've been out on a boat there at that
stadium. You
make
us jealous every year.
I'm telling you what, it's just it's a fantastic – it's one of my favorite places in college football in the country, and it's just one of the most unknown, best-kept secrets in the country. And also, it's one of the loudest stadiums in the country, even though it's open-ended. On the side of the on the water side, it is incredibly loud. It is a great program. It really is.
Can they beat Auburn?
So I think that's the interesting question. Is what you said, Mark? Is this going to be a program that we're going to talk about year after year, or was that a bit of an aberration?
Right.
And so your point is that with Coach Peterson, you think they're hitting their stride and that they're going to be here for a while. And I think that's the real question: is if they are. Then this game could really be interesting and where Auburn's at, who knows, but I think that or we know more where Auburn's at. It's really about what Washington can do.
Right, that's a good point.
And I think it's going to be I'm sure there's going to be an Auburn heavy fan base there in the Dome, but those Washington fans, they're going to travel.
Washington market, man.
Well, I mean, they're the second or third time that they've got one of these big games to travel to, and I think they're going to take advantage. So it'll be interesting.
Speaking of the Dome, I read something. I think this is accurate that you know, Peterson did not want them to open the stadium up because of humidity.
Right.
His team's not used to the humidity, and so he didn't want them to open. So it will be closed.
So Auburn folks are begging for that stadium.
They are. Yeah. But it ain't going to happen. Apparently they agreed. So we'll see.
That's fascinating.
Interesting.
So I can be wrong. I read that, and I believe everything I read. So
the Vols message board has gotten much broader in their information because Mark's knowledge this season is just impressive. You should go work in the media or something because you really know a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of the Vols, you know, Jeremy Pruitt, as a Tennessee fan growing up, I'm really excited. I know Alabama fans were really bummed to see him go, but it recently came out, Mark, I don't know if you read this on the message boards, but it recently came out that he is going to be calling the defensive plays. So I always find that interesting when a head coach to call defensive plays or offensive plays.
It's a different job.
Yeah,
it's a different job.
Yeah, it takes your attention away from the big picture. And I think that's a problem.
And if he's successful there at some point, and if he wants to be there long term, at some point, I think he's going to have to come off that a little bit.
Yeah.
So what's inevitable then? They're going to miss timeouts. They're going to mismanage the clock. As somebody who watched Jimbo Fisher do this for years, you're going to miss calls that the actual head coach of this team is supposed to be making when you're doing something that a coordinator is supposed to do, whether it be the OC or DC. It's a different job.
Right.
And so people who do two jobs at once do two mediocre jobs instead of one great job. And whatever. Yeah. I'll get off my soapbox.
And that being said, you know, Tennessee has
that being ranted
after Adam's.
Apparently, Adam has some feelings about this.
Right. Jimbo, he hurt you, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Listen, the next 40 minutes, I'll talk about him.
We're going to talk about Jimbo big time here in a while.
But, yeah, you know, going into the Tennessee-West Virginia game, Tennessee's recruited well the past 4 years, you know, under Butch Jones. They just haven't developed players.
Right.
So it's interesting to see if the players that are juniors and seniors now, can Pruitt come in and develop them and make them better? I don't know.
We've got to be the only show outside of Tennessee that is still using the words Butch Jones. You two just cannot let Tennessee go.
He was there for 4 years and was just a fascinating follow.
Yeah, I
champions,
you know, he's here now, so I'm trying, you know, it's good that he's here. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a program
we'll
you know, it's going to help him, and that's great. Anyway, I why are we spending so much time on the ball? So we got to move on here real quickly to go through a few other games.
Let's get to the evening, right? Let's talk Michigan, Notre Dame, and LSU, Miami, or Virginia Tech, Florida State, some of these games. I think Michigan, Notre Dame, like we said earlier, is a fascinating game. It's a great Saturday night game. It's a great game to watch on that second TV with Alabama-Louisville. And both these teams, I'm sure, think that they're both going to be in the playoff this year. And as we know, Notre Dame has a far easier path, I think, than any conference team in some ways, but they also have a tough schedule. And Michigan, it could be their year in the Big Ten, and they've kind of struggled as of late, in the late part of the season, trying to pull it together down the stretch.
Yeah.
And so we'll see if your khaki lord can keep things going this year.
One of y'all said it earlier in the program. Not a lot of talk's been said about Michigan this offseason.
No.
They have Shea Patterson from Ole Miss.
He's
healthy.
That's a huge addition to their team. They have had really not very great quarterbacks.
They've really struggled.
Let's have the double-double now.
Mark is being kind to his khaki lord.
I'm just finished. We'll talk about it later. This book on Bama football history, and then a couple of guys that father son team that did this book on Michigan football history, which is just out. And I like these guys, so I'm trying to be nice to Michigan this time. But yeah, it's
they've struggled.
They've
with quarterback
struggled.
Play.
Let's put it that way.
Quarterback hasn't been their strength. Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Well, coming from a quarterback centric coach, which is fascinating.
Right. Yeah, because that's his deal.
He coached Andrew Luck. You know, that he played quarterback for many years in the NFL. So
put your shirt on.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, that is a big game, though. And also on Sunday night, LSU, we've talked about a little bit, LSU and Miami. You know, the nice guy, Rick, is he going to be LSU going to coach O?
They won 10
Rick?
Games last year, right, Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They faded a little bit at the end.
They did.
If you recall, yeah. So we'll
but
see.
To me, that was earlier than I thought he'd get 10 games.
We talked a lot of trash about them last year.
Apparently, we're going to take a break here instead of go to Taggart time.
I think we are. Let's do take a
break.
You'll get
your time.
And we'll be right back with more game talk and our fearless picks. So stay with us, and we'll be right back after the break. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
We're the Ballast Center!
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. All right, guys, let's make a few fearless college football picks. How about that? What do you think? We start off with FAU. A game that starts here in just a little while. FAU at Oklahoma. We're playing Oklahoma.
I think Oklahoma's going to win easily. Yeah, I agree with what we said earlier that Lane may score some points, but I think Oklahoma takes it easy, right?
Yeah, I think FAU covers the 20.5-point spread. Oklahoma wins. Kyler Murray, new quarterback. He got drafted in baseball, still playing with the team.
Yeah.
Fun fact, a little Oklahoma
fact for
you.
That's a little knowledge you got there. Thanks for the Oklahoma knowledge. Yeah.
Boomer Sooner.
Yep, I'm going with Oklahoma. But again, I would like nothing more than an upset here. I don't think it'll happen. Oklahoma's going to have, you know, it's tough. It's tough playing in Norman. It's tough I do think at least an upset might be a possibility with FAU and that offense and Lane Kiffin. So
I guarantee you, when they scheduled this game a decade ago, they did not think that it was going to be slightly interesting. You know, they didn't schedule FAU in the first game of the season because they thought that they were going to have to listen to Lane Kiffin's
mouth. They scheduled a 5-7 FAU conference USA team.
Gosh, maybe 2-13.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
But that changed. All right, what do you got, Adam? Oregon State at Ohio State.
I think Ohio State wins, but I think Oregon State, I mean, it's not going to be one of these 56-3 games. You know, I think Oregon State will win, will score some points, but I think Ohio State's going to win, and I'll be interested to see how they play this year. It'll be a different team, certainly.
Yeah, Ohio State's going to win. Oregon State was 1-11 last year.
Yeah.
They were bad. Yeah. Also, your in-laws are in town. For your they sake, are, I really hope sake. Ohio
right.
State wins.
It's a bad start to the day if they lose.
Yeah, I believe Ohio State will end up blowing them out. I believe it might be close in the beginning, but I think they blow this Oregon State out.
They were 1-11 last year? I didn't know that.
They were bad, dude.
That is bad.
I think Ohio State blows them out.
Yeah, they were bad.
Sorry.
All right, Ole Miss versus Texas Tech.
I got the Landsharks.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
I think this is interesting. I don't know why I'm picking Texas Tech. Other than the
do you ever know why you're picking
beautiful coach? I never know why I'm doing anything, Andrew. That's part of my problem. But I think I'm going to pick Texas Tech. But this was a coin flip to me because I think when the season is over, Ole Miss will certainly be the better team. And we'll have the better record possibly, or at least we'll be the better team, maybe not better record. But I think Texas Tech is going to score a bunch of points, and Ole Miss may struggle to score 50. Ole Miss is not a team to me that can score that many points against a decent opponent.
I'm with you, Adam. I think Texas Tech will win it. I think, you know, Ole Miss has some problems with the program right now. But, you know, Andrew, I think Ole Miss is capable of pulling off a win here, but I think Texas Tech takes this game. I think they'll have the better team over.
I think the Ole Miss offense is going to be a little bit better than everybody's thinking. So I'm going with Ole Miss. I guess that's my first fearless pick
of the day,
right?
That is fearless.
Yeah. It's really exciting stuff. I'm going to pay for it.
Well,
next
that's a long season, Andrew.
Yeah, you know.
Texas-Maryland, I think this is an easy Tom Herman win. I think Maryland's going to be in a lot of trouble this year, and I think that it's going to be hard for those players to rally around their coach or program because their scandals affected players more directly.
Right.
And I think that's a little different than some of these other things we've seen this offseason, so I think Herman gets an easy win.
Yeah, I think Texas – I agree. Texas wins this game. Maryland's in shambles, and it's really unfortunate.
Yeah, Texas wins this one easy. They'll go out there and blow them out. I really believe that. All right, a huge one beginning today at 2:30 our time. Washington and Auburn in Atlanta. This is a really interesting matchup, as we've talked about already.
This is the toughest pick on the board. I'm going with the Tigers. It's in Atlanta. They're going to have a ton of fans there. Really exciting. It's a close one. But I think Stidham really takes the next step. That Auburn offense is just really, really, really powerful and good. And I think they're really going to give Stidham the keys to the car and let him push it down the field. And I think it's going to affect Washington in the end.
This was a coin flip for me, and I'm going to take Washington based purely on the fact that I want them to win. I think it's close, I wouldn't be surprised if Auburn wins, certainly, but I'm just going to take Washington, and I'm going to have them catching Auburn off guard a little bit, and maybe Auburn not giving them the respect they deserve, and that's where I'm going. I don't feel great about it.
I'm with you, and almost for the same reasons. I think I want Washington to win this game, but I also believe, like we were talking earlier, I think Washington's at a level now where they're going to win 10, 11 games every year under Peterson. And they're going to be a dominant force in the Pac-12. Now, USC in Oregon and Stanford, and they're not going away. You know, but I think Washington with Coach Peterson now has the sort of their own process going, and I think they've got a really good offense. I think they're going to. Auburn lost the last two games of the year last mm-hmm. year. They lost to Georgia in the championship game, SEC title game. They lost to, as we well know,
the Central
to UCF. Created problems for all of us.
I haven't heard much about that actually.
Yeah, not at all. So anyway, I believe they're going to have a little hangover effect from that. I think they're, you know, I think Auburn loses this game.
I think it should be an upset if Washington wins. Like I know that they're ranked 5 and 6 or 4 and 5 or something like that. But I think it's a significant upset if Washington wins, and it's a statement that Peterson can make that we're here to contend for a while.
Right. And you know, once Peterson did go out there, now he lost to Alabama. In the playoffs a while back, but he did go out there with Boise State and beat Georgia one time in the Georgia Dome.
Yep.
So he knows what's going on out there. Tennessee and West Virginia. Who you got?
I've got Holmgren and his comb over, man. I think they're going
to
win.
Yeah, I think he's going to be crushing Red Bulls from 5 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Oh yeah, he's on 16 right now.
Yeah, he's going to be crushing Red Bulls. Tennessee has no shot.
I'm with you guys. I think
that was harsh, but it's true.
Tennessee starts the Pruitt era off with a loss. I think I'm with West Virginia all the way on this. Washington State at Wyoming. Does anybody care? They care. So all right.
Our Washington market cares.
I'm taking a Pirate upset. I'm taking Washington State on the road. Slice and dice them.
Yeah, I am too. Josh Allen's not there anymore.
Well, I don't know why.
That's
I can't pick Wyoming. I just can't.
I'm going with the Cowboys. I'm going with Wyoming.
That's pretty fearless of you, Mark.
Well, I don't think the Pirate's going to be, he's going to be off the ship in Wyoming.
Right.
It's if this were in Pullman or,
landlocked for me,
yeah,
maybe.
Right. I think the Cowboys are going to, just think about the Cowboys and a Pirate. Cowboys know how to handle a Pirate. And I think that's, anyway.
That is an interesting take on the game, Mark.
Yeah,
I think
there we go.
You're right, Cowboys versus Pirates.
I'm probably picking them for no other reason than that. All right, Central Michigan at Kentucky. Who you guys got?
Does it really matter if it's Central Kentucky versus Michigan or Central Michigan versus Kentucky?
Right.
No.
No.
I've got Stoops Troops.
Yeah, I got Stoopsy.
That's your boy.
My boy.
How we haven't talked about Mark Stoops, him
we
being
lasted,
your guy.
I can't believe we lasted like 40 minutes about Stoops.
Right, no Stoops. Stoops frees on today, but I'm with Kentucky too, so they're going to handle this one.
It's an awful game. Yeah. UNC versus Cal. I think this is a decent game. I like to pick UNC a lot, which means they always lose.
Why is that?
I don't know why. I have a weird soft spot for them in the ACC.
They've got great uniforms.
They do. They do. And I like their coach a lot, too. But I think Cal's going to win this game pretty easily.
I'm actually picking USC. I think Larry Fedora.
UNC? Said USC.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
UNC,
right.
North Carolina. So it's week one, Adam.
Yeah,
cut me some slack here. Yeah, I'm taking UNC. Larry Fedora and his bunch.
I'm with Cal. You know, it's out there in California, and UNC's. I don't know. I'm not sold on there. They do have a decent program, but I think Cal's got a lot of offense. I think they win the game.
These are two letdown teams too, and it'll be on the letdown Fox coverage of a college football game too. So I know the coverage will be terrible.
Speaking of USC, I don't know why we got it on the board. I don't know who did that.
Right?
Was it me?
Right. Yeah.
We'll
ask UNLV the guy who makes up the list.
USC. Right. Who you guys got?
The Trojans.
I have like 700 cable channels, and I've got to find what the Pac-12 network is. But I think the Trojans are going to win.
Yep.
Easily.
I agree.
All right, this is a really interesting game. Boise State at Troy. Boise State. Did I say Boise State? Boise State.
A few of the sports
writers. We're rusty here at 90.7 the Caps.
Yeah. We did have Boise State
all
here
summer long. Right?
State,
there
all summer
go.
Long.
Yeah.
Little plug there.
Not all summer. Maybe a week.
There it was a week. They came to the rec. There was a few sports writers on the in the Crimson White that chose Troy. I believe three of them, which I found very
Their
interesting.
Their parents must have gone to Troy,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe they're from Troy or
Boise
Dothan
State's
or that area.
Light them up, right?
Could be. I think
they're going to light them up.
I think Boise State lights.
Once
them
they
up.
Get over the confusion of the green field, right. I think they're going
to
light them up.
You know, being a former Sunbelt guy, I really would like to see Troy win this game, but it's just not going to happen.
Once a Sunbelt, always a Sunbelt guy.
Right.
That's right.
All right, Louisiana Tech at South Alabama. Who you got?
Tech.
Yeah, Tech. I'd like to pick South Alabama, but Louisiana Tech's a good game.
Yeah.
I mean, a good team. I mean,
they've won
guys.
Eight or
they're
nine games
South
the
Alabama.
Past five years.
Yep.
They're a solid team in Conference USA is always in contention.
I'm with you guys, Tech. Cincinnati at UCLA.
Wilson Spate, the former Michigan quarterback that we talked about that struggled earlier, was named starter for UCLA. I still think they're going to win. interesting to see Chip Kelly's debut there. So not much has been talked about.
No, no. Chip Kelly, he's been really kind of low-key. I read one article about him this summer, but I think that he'll have a good time at UCLA. I think they'll kind of have a few good seasons here starting in a while. Beating the Bearcats is going to be pretty easy. It's an easy way to start the year.
I agree. Right? I think that's an easy blowout win for UCLA to start the season. Huge game, which we've talked about, but let's make our pick. I think it's a tough pick. Michigan at Notre Dame. Who you got?
So, I mean, because I have to pick a team, I'm going to pick Michigan. And I don't have a great reason why. Notre Dame on the road may be the – I mean, Notre Dame at home may be the difference maker, to be honest with you. But I think Michigan's going to win. I think they're going to be a little bit better. I think the quarterback is exactly why, to me, that maybe they have an advantage. I guess. I don't know.
I think Michigan's going to win this game. I'm calling it out. I think they're in the playoff at the end of the season. Ooh. So I think it starts. I think the road starts here for them. And Shea Patterson's he's the missing
difference maker.
He's legit.
Yeah, I mean, getting rid of Spate and getting Shea Patterson is
a big
right
trade
way.
Up, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's the right move. And I do think Michigan's got a great defense. I believe they've got a lot of returners. I think that. Now they've got somebody that can direct the offense, and frankly, Harbaugh has to win some big games. I mean, he has got to win. Anyhow, I think this is a tough start for Michigan, but I think they win this game. It's going to be a good one to watch, although we'll be watching
a different game.
Yeah.
I also think this is a great game for both of these programs to start off with, and if we've seen last year and other years, like, this is the type of game to start the season with, because this loss or win certainly can be utilized at the end, and I think if you lose the game, you've got a good reason to kind of talk around it by the end of the season.
Right. Yep, absolutely.
We're skipping Alabama-Louisville, right, and we're going straight to the just barn burner tonight, Pac-12 after dark, BYU at Arizona.
Your boy Tate, Arizona.
Tate, this could be his year. I keep saying he's going to win the Heisman Trophy, so I think this is the year.
Is he a 17th year junior?
Yeah. I think he's going to, run all over and throw all over BYU.
I have no idea, but I'm picking Arizona as well.
Arizona's going to blow
this
team out.
Yeah.
I'm taking Zona too, clearly. They're going to win. Sunday, big game tomorrow evening, Sunday. LSU versus Miami.
We talked about the Auburn and Washington game being the toughest game to pick. To me, this is a very, very close second.
I agree.
Just questions mark with Coach O coming in. Miami coming off a really good season. They did leave a little bit on the table, but that's kind of expected with our guy Rick. I think Miami's going to win this game.
That's kind of Rick style, right?
I'm going with Coach O, LSU, in this game. He said, we're coming. We're not backing down.
Yeah. So you're picking them because they're literally showing up to the
game. Right. I'm just picking them because
they're going to attend their own game.
They'll be there.
Because I wondered whether they were coming or not. Right. I wasn't too sure about that until he said they're coming, and now I know they're actually
going to play. The fact that you
could
understand him when he said that's the best part.
Yeah. And, I think in Arlington will be packed with LSU fans, too. They're going to be all over that stadium, and I think that they're going to have a huge crowd. I don't think they're going to have enough out of the gate to beat Miami. Now, I could be wrong. They could show up, and I don't think they're going to be great overall this season. I think LSU is going to have another tough kind of four-loss season, but I think for this game, my issues with Mark Richter are not normally at the beginning of the season. They're normally, like you said, towards the end of the season when he kind of falls asleep at the wheel. Right. And so I think that Miami's going to win this game easily.
Gotcha.
All right.
We've shockingly left no time again
to talk about
the Florida State
game. Got about a minute.
I really don't know what's going to happen with the season this year. I am pumped about Willie Taggart. He is bringing back speed. He is bringing back the old Bobby Bowden offense. He's bringing back the old end zones. He's bringing back these hot black uniforms. And I think Florida State pulls away with it on Monday night. I think it's close in the first half, and then they score a bunch of points in the second, because I think Virginia Tech's defense will be good, and their offense will falter.
I think with the transition, Florida State's transition, Virginia Tech's going to win the game for no other reason. Willie Taggart, he's going to recruit his butt off there, and they're going to be good, but game one's going to be a struggle.
I'm going with your Seminoles, Adam. I'm going with them. I think the home game, also, I just think
After dark, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Doke after dark. And I believe, they've got something to prove a little bit. They were down a little bit, so I think they're I think they're going to win. I think it's a tough place for Virginia Tech to go out and play.
The hype machine is going to be out of control, and Michael Vick is still not on Virginia Tech. Yep. That's it for the other games around the nation, but we'll take a short break here. We'll be right back, though, to talk about Alabama-Louisville and the land of Disney World. You all are listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Sarah Patterson, and you're listening to the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It is time for us to talk Bama Louisville, a little game going down in Orlando. What is it, the Camping World? Yeah. Special kickoff edition of Orlando football.
Yeah, every
something.
Time I think of Orlando, I go, let's go to Camping World.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely.
I don't know why Disney World doesn't sponsor that, but anyway.
Right. And none of us are making the trip, so all of us are here in T-Town.
Right. It's a magical
for our listeners.
Orlando
it's magical.
Is a magical place.
It is, but it's magical
and hopefully
here
it's
in
magical
Tuscaloosa
for the Tide.
It is.
Yes.
Hopefully
we're not
it is.
Catching a fast jet down there.
We are not.
The show here.
Normally we're on the jet, but today we are not.
I know
on the
Andrew
jet.
Normally likes to catch a fast jet to Vandy.
Andrew's got that Sunbelt thing fired up.
Yeah. You know. But
hey, don't sleep on a ULM game.
I've been there. Sleep during a ULM game.
I've been there.
Yeah.
It's true. Unfortunately.
Yeah. To Lafayette. I don't know. All those places that you go. No, just I don't think you go there.
I haven't been to Lafayette yet.
Or the Raging Cajuns,
There's
right?
still time.
Okay. Yep.
So, yeah, I think this game, certainly Lamar Jackson was the reason why we cared about Louisville for the last few years, and he does not still play there. So I am less afraid of Louisville, certainly, than I would have been the last couple years. And as we know, Bama's got a great record in these kickoff games and is certainly able to take on any level of talent in these kickoff games. And I don't doubt that Coach Saban will have the team ready. I mean, when we last left the team, it was in Atlanta in the stadium last year that they started the season in Atlanta, ended the year in Atlanta, in one of the most magical games we've ever witnessed.
Absolutely.
I'm not too afraid of Louisville. I'm trying to find a way to say.
No, that's the biggest thing.
Trying to hype this game.
It's because Louisville is, I think Louisville's going to be a good team. I think they've got a good quarterback, Juwan Pass. The thing is, Alabama has played better teams in the first game, and they've handled their business.
Right.
Coach
Saban is always so good when he has time to prepare the team, whether it's the first game or a playoff game. And so, you know, whether that sounds ridiculous or not, as an Alabama fan or Alabama supporter, like, it just doesn't scare you.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I think that is.
This feels similar to that game against West Virginia.
Absolutely.
A handful of years ago where there is some potential in that program.
And the team is good enough. The team is going to play. Like, the Louisville team, they're not scrubs.
Right.
No.
Bobby Petrino can coach.
He can coach. And
as much as we don't like him.
And, you know, he will, even though Lamar Jackson is not walking through that door, you know, the Petrino knows how to coach a quarterback up. He's an offensive coach. He will have that team ready to go. They've also had a lot of time to prepare for it. But they're going up against Alabama, and I this is a tough opener for Louisville, you know.
This feels to me like what I call a Mark Mayfield special, of that the first quarter and a half is going to be within a score or two maybe, because they can score and they can play football. This is not Citadel, but I think by we're rolling into halftime, I think things probably start to get out of hand, and we're probably going to halftime up 2.5 scores or something like that, something like 17 points or 16 points or something like that. And the second half may get ugly. Now, the big question, of course, right, is that we've got to lay down our guesses on who's going to come out at quarterback,
right,
and the time, what it's going to look like, split between the two, and what the team looks like. I think that's of interest, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, it seems from what Saban's been saying that he's going to play both quarterbacks in this first game, and we've seen him do that before.
Yep.
And I think that
he did it with Blake Sims and Coker.
He did.
Yeah.
He
so
did.
Yeah, there's
a lot of ways to do that, though. I mean, are we going to split series? Are we going to hold them off? Are we going to see Jalen do something different on offense? Are we going to see some? I'd love to see some wildcat. With him. I mean, that would just be such a great, great thing.
Yeah.
But teams struggle when they do that two quarterback thing.
Right.
Like, while we've done it successfully,
Well, you know. I believe we'll see it some in this game, but I believe it's just like the Blake Sims Coker thing.
It's going to go
and
away.
He did it with, I think, McCarron and Phillip Sims years before that.
He
in
did.
The first game.
Yep.
And then he picks a starter, and that's the way it's going to be. And we may see that. Maybe different because, you know, these guys both could start anywhere, I think. So, but the point is Alabama has a very high-powered offense.
Right.
And they're going to score a lot of points tonight. I'm just certain of that.
Our colleague Kirk Herbstreit, you saw his quote about if Tua comes out there and scoring 45-50. Yeah. Right. That's a lot of points for Alabama to score on a routine basis.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, what does worry me a little bit, not much in this game, but Alabama's secondary.
Brand new.
Yeah, brand new. And, you know, all reports from the last scrimmage is that, you know, they gave up a lot of scores in that scrimmage, but that was against this offense.
Right.
And also it was still, you know, two weeks away from tonight or earlier, so they weren't fully set. So that's my only real concern. But that defense is going to be rolling by midseason.
Absolutely.
And the offense is going to put up points. I mean, Saban pretty much said it. You know, it's like it's going to take maybe, you know, they're going to need more offense in some of these games. And I think until that secondary really gets experience. But they're gonna blow out at Louisville.
I think an interesting note for this game is, and this is nothing that Alabama hadn't dealt with in the past, but they have two new coordinators on the offensive, defensive side of the ball. It'll be interesting to see what, you know, how Alabama adjusts with a completely different secondary. You know, they obviously Calvin Ridley left for the NFL, but that wide receiving core is still really, really stout. It'll just be interesting to see, you know, the coordinators put their mark on the program, you know, like Brian Daboll did, like Lane Kiffin.
I think that's a great point,
Jeremy
Andrew.
Pruitt did in the past.
That's so great because we talk about this transition, how it's been going on and on, but, hey, we handled it fine, and every year Coach Saban can pull it together, but you got to figure at some point you got to have some coaches for longer than a season. And so I think we saw it in the Clemson game 2 years ago in the Natty where it did affect that team that night.
Yeah.
Absolutely did affect the play calling that night and how we were able to be successful. And so while that's one small example, that was a big example that turned into an L, you know, at the last moment. And so I think that I'd love to see these guys here for a couple of years and see some stability. You got your buddy Butch, you know, helping, giving advice.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they want them to stick around as well, but it'll be interesting to see whether we can keep some momentum. You're right.
Well, real quickly, what's your score tonight? What's your score prediction?
38-17, tied.
So I was going to say 45-16.
I'm going to go 52-17.
That's a big number.
That's a big number.
I'm trying to think if anybody picks a number that's not divisible by football.
52-17. I think
six safeties.
Four field goals.
Hey, the Browns won five of the other night.
We both are picking one field goal though, because that's the point we haven't talked about.
But I think Bama's offense is going to have a great game tonight. I really do. I do think you're right. I think it'll start where the teams are just sort of getting used to each other. But then I think Bama just starts. Louisville's defense can't handle.
I can't handle that.
Right.
I'm pumped.
That's
can't wait.
Awesome.
Yeah,
we're excited. Great. So that'll do it for our opening week in the Skybox this fall. We'll be back next week with special guest Ken Gaddy of the Paul W. Bryant Museum on our first home game weekend of the season. Thanks to Terry Siggers, the GM of this station, who mixes the show for us, and to all for you who are listening. We'll see you on the radio right here next week on the Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.